Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
You are now live inside the digital world that happens every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. with your host, Mr. Karen Rose, and Janine Edwards, who'll be coming into the studio shortly. How have you been doing for the past week? It's always a pleasure to jump on Freedom 106.5 and talk all things digital. We get to speak to some of the top entrepreneurs across the Caribbean who have been building their brands, building their businesses all online, learning how to mesh, you know, what they've been doing with their brick and mortar assets and then combining it with their digital assets. We get to talk to some of the leading fintech companies, and we have a special episode today where we're going to be diving into some more information about fintech. So if you are somebody that has been looking to start your own fintech company, this is going to be an episode for you. There has been so many things that have happened or happening in the digital world over the past couple of weeks, and listen to me, and it's going to have some far-reaching consequences. So I want to kick today's show off with one of the big sets of news that's going to be affecting everybody all over the world. We're all watching this with a magnifying glass right about now. And that is the looming ban on TikTok. Now, I know what you must be thinking. TikTok, why does this even, some people might be thinking, why does this even matter? Isn't that the platform where kids are still using to dance and do all kind of trendy stuff? Listen, TikTok has been the go-to platform for a lot of businesses to finally get exposure ever since the pandemic started. A lot of businesses are on these platforms. A lot of stars, a lot of content creators have been formed because of the TikTok platform. And it's generating a lot of money for everybody involved. So you're probably thinking, why is the U.S. and a lot of the United Nations countries, why are they looking to get this app out of their country? What is going on? Well, the big argument that the U.S. is presenting is the fact that they feel the application could be used to spy on American citizens and pretty much everybody else, like the U.K., Canada, Australia, Italy, the rest of them are all saying the same thing, right? Now, interesting fact, when you are in China, China has pretty much never allowed a lot of the U.S. company social media apps to begin with. There is no Google in China. There is no Facebook in China. There is no Instagram in China. And that's because the Chinese have said the same thing. We don't want any U.S. applications in China because we don't want any U.S. propaganda. We don't want your tools to be able to be used to collect data on our people and used against us. And the reason why TikTok is being targeted right now is because TikTok is an application that has been created by a company called ByteDance. And ByteDance is a Chinese-owned company, right? When they brought the CEO for TikTok into Congress a couple days ago, while a lot of the questions were pretty funny, right? I think the senators that were there, that were asking the questions, you could tell they're a bit out of touch, right? And they probably, you know, they had their script, they had their talking points, and they probably just didn't ask it the way that it should have been asked. Like, I think one of the funniest questions that everybody is trolling online right now is when the senator asked, does TikTok connect to the home Wi-Fi network? And it sounded like a very out of touch question, and everybody has been laughing and trolling about that question. But what I really think he meant is I think he was really trying to get to the point. He didn't, but I think he was trying to get to the point to say, well, if TikTok, you know, uses data, and if somebody connects their phone to the home Wi-Fi network, right, then TikTok would be able to access the home Wi-Fi network, which is what the cybersecurity specialists fear, right? They don't want any phone or any device that has TikTok in it to be able to connect to any of the public Wi-Fi networks or any of the home Wi-Fi networks, because then you possibly would be able to gain access to other devices that are on that network. That is a common thing. We know that's one of the ways hackers get into everybody's the devices, their computers, their phones. They go to public Wi-Fi networks, and they scan the networks and they see what devices they can be able to hack on those platforms, right? So that phone with TikTok on it connecting to your home Wi-Fi network could act like a Trojan horse. So that was one of the reasons why he kind of brought that point up. He did not say that, but again, he just wasn't the right person to ask that question. But one of the questions that during that Senate hearing, one of the questions to me that really stood out was when, I forget the senator's name, but one of the senators asked, the Chinese government just passed a law that says all Chinese companies must turn over their data upon request by the Chinese government. No ifs, ands, or buts. Once you are a Chinese company, you have to turn over your data upon request. No ifs, ands, or buts. And last time they checked, ByteDance and TikTok is a Chinese company, all right? So the CEO for TikTok went on to say, well, you know, they're going to be building out separate servers. There's Project Texas coming on where they're going to have their own servers that are going to be on U.S. soil, and they will house all the information for TikTok users in America. But that's still a couple of ways. That's still a couple of years away. And the senator jumped back in. That doesn't matter. He's like, you could put the servers in my house, right? I could guard it with a pitchfork. You're still a Chinese company, and the law that they have passed, that China has passed, is that you have to turn over the data upon request by the Chinese. So it doesn't matter about where the servers are. Once you are a Chinese company, you have to turn it over. So the U.S. is pretty much proposing now that either you guys go public and you guys sell TikTok on the open market, so it's not a Chinese-owned company. Preferably, you could sell it to us. Or we just put you guys in a global ban. And either of those options are not options that TikTok clearly wants to hear, right? And there's also a lot of talk about, well, you know, what about Google? What about Facebook? All these other social media platforms, they collect and they sell our data, but what about them? What everybody fails to realize in this conversation is, yes, Google collects your data. Facebook collects your data. They faced the Senate hearing within the last 2 years as well, right? They grilled Zuckerberg, they grilled Sundar Pichai, but what you're forgetting is that those are American companies. They are American companies collecting data on everybody else, but they're selling the data to American companies. TikTok is not an American company. They do not want the data being collected and used against them in whatever which way the data is being used against them. And then you also have to keep in mind that the company ByteDance has two versions of TikTok. There's the TikTok, and then I believe the other version of it is called Buyen, and that is a TikTok version of TikTok, but only for China. And the content that they receive and the rules and regulations and how it operates is very different. So if you're under the age of 14, it automatically locks off by 8 p.m. The content that they get shown, they don't get shown any drama or any bacchanal. The content they get showed is all educational content. Educational content to uplift, teach, and inspire the youth, right? Versus us, it's pretty much all drama, right? For the most part. Unless you go looking for educational content. But again, that's a form of control. That's a form of manipulation. They have realized it. So this has nothing to do. The TikTok ban has nothing to do with influencers. It has nothing to do with what you think it has. This is all political, and this is just where we are when it comes to the relations between the U.S. and the rest of the world versus China and the rest of the world. They just don't want that tool to be used anywhere on their soil, right? And this has big repercussions for businesses across the world, because if you were a business, or if you are a business today that is using that platform heavily, and that platform I don't expect it to make it through the summer, right? Or at least 2023. I don't expect TikTok to make it through 2023. But if you're building your brand and TikTok is the main platform you're building your entire business on, then you're going to need to start building out your other digital assets. So start thinking now about getting your website. Remember, in the Caribbean, no social media platform has any of the e-commerce tools enabled on any of them, right? So if a sale has to happen, it has to happen on your website anyway. The e-commerce tools that allow Facebook to, you know, open up the Facebook shop and people can pay with a credit card for products and services and never leave Facebook, same thing on Instagram, same thing on TikTok, that's not available for the entire Caribbean. So if a sale has to happen and somebody wants to pay you, they have to pay you on your website, right? We're trying to get away from this, oh, DM me for price or DM me to place the order. Because guess what? A lot of us like to shop at night or early in the morning. And when we DM you, you take 6 hours to respond or to give me the information to pay you. And then you might take however long for that payment to actually come across, for us to verify the bank payment. Maybe that person has to go into the branch and make the payment. There's a lot of things that can happen when a payment doesn't happen right away, right? So you want to have your website. We see everybody in Trinidad, they all have the new Lynx Visa debit cards, and all of those cards are enabled for local e-commerce. So if you are using any of the Caribbean payment gateways, like a First Atlantic Commerce, like a WePay on your website, the sales can happen immediately, and everybody can use their new Lynx Visa debit cards on your website. So start thinking about getting your website. Start thinking about building your email list at least, so that way you can start to funnel that traffic from social media onto platforms that you actually own. Do not. It is a very dangerous time right now to leave all of your audience, all of your customers, only on social media. Because you also have to keep in mind, too, besides what's going on with TikTok, there's also the big news from Twitter that just got announced a couple of days ago, where Elon Musk held a press conference last week Friday, and he said the only way to combat all of the bots that are swarming social media platforms right now is to put more and more features behind a paywall. So they were charging for Twitter Blue. They are charging $11 on Android, $11 US per month on Android, and $16 a month on iOS devices. He is now going to be putting features like if you want to show up on the discovery page on Twitter, you could only show up on the Twitter discovery page if you are paying for the subscription. If you want to do things like vote, right? If you want to start a vote, if you want to participate in votes, right now the bots are voting and it's just ruining people's actual data. Remember, people are using social media to gain consumer insights and to build their business. So if the bots are reading all of your stories, if they're commenting, if they're tweeting on your behalf, if they're participating in the votes, what's the point? So he's putting more features behind the paywall. And I suspect that because Mark Zuckerberg and Meta already copied what they did with Twitter Blue and just launched Meta Verify, where you can pay for your check mark, your authentication, I think that moving forward, he's going to adopt the same thing, where they're going to put more features of Facebook and more features of Instagram behind a paywall, so you have to pay to use these services. Now, as a business, you're probably going to pay for it because it makes sense for you. But what about the regular person who's not using it for business and they're just using it for, you know, to connect to their friends, connect to their family, use it for entertainment purposes or use it for educational purposes? If they're not paying the subscriptions, then they're going to be seeing a whole lot of suggested content they didn't ask for. They're going to be seeing a lot of sponsored content. They're going to be seeing a lot more ads, and they're going to be seeing a lot more content from bots. And that might not be attractive to the regular Joe. So they may potentially leave. According to cybersecurity firm, I'll get the name just now, but there were over 1 million searches last year in 2022 on how to delete Instagram. So people are looking to remove Instagram altogether and delete their accounts. So if you are a business in Trinidad and Tobago and the wider Caribbean, because we have listeners that are here listening in from the UK, the States, and Canada as well, everybody, it's in your best interest now to start building out your own channels, because social media is changing before our eyes. It's almost like every single day there is an announcement that's being made that is changing the entire landscape, all right? And this is going to affect your business. We will talk more about that later on in the program. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to bring our first guest on to the show. So keep it locked. This is the Digital World. Don't go anywhere.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we are back right here on the Digital World. And listen, we have a very, very special guest in the studio today. We got Mr. John Sankarali, the Chief FinTech Officer. John has over 20 years of experience having worked and lived in North America, Europe, Africa, and Asia for various multinational corporations within legal, private equity, investment banking, telecoms, and F&B. His passion in driving business transformation remained constant by embracing and adopting technology as a mindset differentiator. John, how are you doing today?
Karen, thank you very much, and Freedom 106.5, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time. Listen, every time I see you, I'm always like, oh, you're in the country. I feel like you are forever traveling the world. How has that been for you over the years?
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. COVID-19 stopped it a bit. But, yeah. It's good to be back in the game.
Right. So now that you're back in Trinidad, what are some of the things that you are looking to do in Trinidad now that you are back?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of the things that I've seen over the past 5 years have sort of materialized. We're now in a state where governance is clear, where the country wants to see themselves making financial services more affordable and ready for citizens. We are seeing cross collaborations with the ECCB. Central banks are now classifying and approving players in the industry and the ecospace. So where I am now is that seeing that now requires the execution of some of these projects at a national basis and also at a private partnership basis with some of the private sector institutions.
Right. Has COVID really kicked things up? Like, do you think we were talking about any of these things before COVID? Do you think COVID has really given us a good kick in the tail to get things started?
Yeah, globally, before COVID, we were seeing a lot of payment providers providing services globally. Right. I think for Trinidad and the Caribbean, what COVID did is amplify the need for it and to be on those rails. So what we're seeing now is that swift movement and services are being offered for everyone across the scale, and we are now being global.
I love it. So that comes into, you know, that's a good segue into our first question of the interview, you know. What is the TTIFC? We have been hearing about the TTIFC, but most people still don't exactly know what the TTIFC is. Can you give a good breakdown of what it is for us?
Sure. So TTIFC, Trinidad and Tobago International Financial Center. Sounds big, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we are one of the key lead agencies for the Ministry of Finance.
Right.
And we have a few mandates by the Honorable Minister.
Yeah.
Two of those mandates out of the three I'll discuss, which falls under our remit. One is to do a national financial inclusion survey to understand our citizens better and the needs of what we can offer as a country.
Yeah.
And how we can push that across the region. And two is to support that strategy and that inclusion strategy by creating an environment for players to work in. And what do I mean by players? Fintechs, payment service providers, electronic money issuers, all need a place to find innovation, collaboration, and to partner with some of these private institutions and play a role for government services.
Right. What is the genesis of the TTIFC's partnership with the UNCDF in this initiative? Now, break down what the UNCDF is as well.
Yes, so the UNCDF, which is the United Nations Caribbean Development Fund, is largely one of our biggest partners in the Caribbean.
Right.
Now, globally, when you look at the UNCDF, they have done these sort of Caribbean sprints across different regions, right? They did it in the Pacific, where they offered the same program where we can enable the locals of the of the Pacific states, yeah, where they played a huge part in, where they enabled some of these farmers, low base income societies, to benefit from services offered through grant programs.
Right.
We chose this great partnership to showcase, in partnership with the European Union, to develop our region and play a part in unleashing grant programs of up to 100,000 US some of these digital solutions that are currently needed.
Right, right. That's a good piece of change. So what are some of the, we know that we have a lot of issues to tackle that fintech solutions can help with, right? What are the specific issues that credit unions and their members experience that warrant the need for the development of digital payment products and solutions?
Sure. So credit unions, traditionally, you all brick and mortar sort of institutions where you still walk into a credit union to do credit union services.
Right.
Today, nothing is done from an electronic side, or a lot more can be done from an electronic side into welcoming what we call the digital economy.
Right.
And today, take for instance a family of five, and this is not, you know, I often hear the term layman. You break it down in layman terms.
Yeah.
I believe layman is society. We're all part of that, right?
Yeah.
So my family, they're all part of the credit union. So
right.
We're no different. Financial inclusion doesn't touch on certain sectors. It touches on everything.
Yeah.
So today, if you walk into a credit union, you do all your business needs within that facility, within that brick and mortar facility.
Yeah.
Now, the expansion of what this Caribbean Sprint is going to do is allow for digitalization of services where electronic solutions can be then given to you, that same family I'm speaking about, where you can then transfer money digitally or electronically to some members of your family.
Right.
For instance, SEA just happened, right?
Right.
I remember when I did Common Entrance at the time, I so wanted to get out of the exam. The first thing I wanted to do was buy a snow cone.
Right.
But think about it today. You can then push payments via your mobile phone to your kid who's just at SEA to go and experience those things without the need of, I need to get to the ATM. I need to go find that there's cash available for my children to then purchase such things with their friends. So there are a lot of needs that's going to happen in terms of a person creating that electronic ID,
right,
as well as creating a history for that person in terms of transacting digitally,
right,
and that leaves for a whole host of operations to then facilitate itself. So we have the notion that if we move into the electronic space or the digital space, that we are putting ourselves short of jobs.
Right.
And the actual reality is that we are creating more jobs by digital services. So you may be moving from one service, but you will be spending more time and engineering what that other type of host of services that comes with the electronic tag associated to you and some of the spaces that you're going to find purchasing power in.
Yeah.
So it's a complete shift, but it's not a shift that's something new to us. We see it happening globally. So how Trinidad is going to fit into that remit is going to allow for us to be a global individual citizen.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest fears with digital is that, as you said, the minute we start to bring in any form of automation, any form of new channels that are going to replace old functions, that's going to replace the people who are actually doing it, right? And what I want people to start thinking about is jobs have gone, we have replaced jobs from since the dawn of time, right? Before, when you were a farmer and you had a farm, you had hundreds of farmers that were operating the farm. And then here came the tractor. And then you didn't need half the people that were working that farm because the tractor replaced a lot of the jobs. But then you needed that new job. You needed somebody to learn how to operate the tractor. You need somebody to learn how to build tractors. You need somebody to learn how to fix the tractors. And I feel like we're so caught up in that we want to stay with a lot of the jobs that we have right now that we're not even thinking about all of the new jobs that are going to be created with the new skill sets that are in demand right now. Even within the fintech space, I know, again, John, you've traveled, you've seen a lot. Like, what are some of the new skills that are being required to be able to work within the fintech industry around the world?
Exactly what you're saying, right? So, you know, oftentimes, which part of a song gets best rehearsed? It's the chorus, right? So mm-hmm. if we keep singing the chorus, we wouldn't understand the main version of the song. So
right.
we need to step out of that and come out of just only understanding the chorus. We need to start looking at, hey, this now for farmers, for instance, and this challenge here that we are putting forward to the fintechs and sort of the digital players that offering solutions. How do we then say, can farmer A in Trinidad export his goods to country B in mm-hmm. the Caribbean, where he is now creating a new revenue flow for his industry? Traditionally, he is set within his boundaries of Trinidad and possibly Tobago,
yeah.
right? So it's creating an open dialogue with global reach.
Yeah.
And we are starting that at a national level.
Yeah.
We're doing it across the region, and internationally, we're bringing players as well to partake in some of these discussions when it comes to finding the perfect solutions for instance, one of the companies here you've seen listed on the sprint, mm-hmm. Namdevco.
Yeah.
How does that farmers industry move into what is called digital agriculture? That we are generating an increased revenue line for export. That's has massive potential. So we want to step into that. We want to bring players who can provide solutions, not just from a local knowledge, but from a regional content standpoint. We want to bring consortiums together where we can, local fintechs may not have that exposure,
right.
what is happening globally.
Right.
May need some partnerships.
Right.
And this cohesion is something that we are going to do within the TTIFC by way of building its first ever fintech hub.
Tell us more about that.
So that fintech hub is that melting place. And I believe Marshall Montano said it's called the meeting place, right?
Mm-hmm.
right. So this meeting place brings a sort of environment, a co-working space
yeah.
where collaboration happens, where innovation is at the forefront. We're utilizing a physical space where technology is on the agenda. Problem statements are the outcomes to find solutions for. So we're going to touch most of the industries that is requiring a complete shift in thinking. As I said, I'm a mindset differentiator. We can't continually sing from the chorus.
Yeah.
We need to make our own songs. And the reality of this fintech hub is going to be on Ryson Road, where it's the melting pot of Port of Spain.
Right.
People come together, we create solutions together, we then find and plug and play where you can find an industry for you to find solutions to marry. So that's the key of one of the agendas that the TTIFC, in support with the UNCDF,
yeah.
the European Union, and some of our outreach partners like Visa, like AmCham, like
yeah.
Eurocham, all of these players play an active part in what we are trying to deliver for our citizens.
Sounds very, very good and much needed. I feel like the technology part is probably the easiest part for us. Like we're seeing a lot of new solutions being built, a lot of new solutions being brought into the country and being tweaked for, you know, our culture and what we do here. So I'm not worried about the technology, but what do you think we need to do to start getting the buy-in from the people to want to learn how these things work, want to learn how they can actually help them in their day-to-day lives, and then trust it to actually use it? Because we have a lot of tech right now that people, you know, say, no, we don't want no parts of, and they still they won't go pay their bill online, or they won't go use online banking, and then they'll go line up to pay the bill and then complain that there's long lines, right? So what do you think we got to do to start to get the citizenry to start trusting technology and learning about the technology?
Wow, that's a question for the government. So what we're doing, right, and we and started to do, and Central Bank is playing a very active role in this. You know, you're seeing at the Parliament where discussions are happening around, you know, Global Data Protection Act.
Right.
Right. one of these things, our legislation is going to be on the forefront, is going to be passed, where your identity, your digital identity, is owned and controlled by yourself. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? Traditionally, you go to a financial institution, you carry your folder of documents that's required. They keep that folder of documents, right? Whether it's ID, whether it's your payslip, whether it's utility bills. That remains at one institution. But for instance, you go to another institution, you have to take that same folder. Your a digital identity is going to be owned and controlled and issued by yourself.
Right.
So when you talk about trust, the trust, you hold that trust. You share who you are and who you want to do business with.
Right.
So this is the main aspect of what everything equals digital means. Right.
Right.
This is the pioneering point. And our government is playing a very important role by one of the major industries here, Ministry of Digitalization and Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully soon we'll be seeing all of these things come into play where, for instance, a national EID program gets launched.
Right.
We control that. I'll give you an example. I went to have some documents notarized to be sent back to Singapore.
Right.
And I went to, obviously, you can only go to a notary republic.
Right.
But you take this document, you get this big rubber red stamp, and then they keep your ID in the form of a printed out A4.
Right.
Now, why are you keeping my ID? I've appeared to show you that I am here with my ID. Why do you need to keep my ID?
Right.
So that mindset has to change. There's no law that says I have to keep paperwork. But there is a law that says we need to own our identity, and digital IDs are becoming a true token of that security standard that we have to meet.
Mm.
Globally, governments are doing it, and we are no different.
Yeah.
We have to get on board. We have to get on board with the right legislations, and that trust will be an easy factor. Today, you leave your house. Most times, you'll forget your car keys, but you'll never forget your mobile phone.
Right.
So you trust a device.
Right.
So you have to trust what the digital ID means for you to share and be a part of this ecosystem so that you can be available to affordable cost solutions that's going to come your way.
Definitely. And I know we have a lot of solutions that are coming out. And again, this is why the FinTech Sprint program is coming out. So going back to the FinTech Sprint, one of the questions I wanted to know was, how many problem statements can the FinTech participants solve inside of the sprint?
Sure. So we have three problem statements, right? However, FinTechs can apply for one only.
Mm.
But there's a caveat to it.
Okay.
So a local FinTech may want to join with an international FinTech that has global exposure in terms of services, onboarded customers, and a true solution. That local FinTech couldn't join in partnership with an international player to offer a more complete integrated platform.
Right.
So we are allowing for consortiums, and we are allowing for partnerships.
Right.
What that's going to do is create a regional reach.
Right.
As well as an international reach. So we are showcasing that this is not, all solutions are not in one place.
Right.
But if you open the doors, you will get a lot of more meaningful, impactful solutions.
And give us more about the purpose behind why the FinTech Sprint Challenge was started by the TTIFC.
As I said, 5 years ago, when all of this groundwork, governance and structure was being started, we are now at an execution stage. Hence the reason for the perfect partnership with the EU and the UNCDF to allow for this. So the incentive here, as you said, as we said, US dollars,
yeah,
100,000 up to, that says a lot.
Yeah.
A lot for any company,
yeah,
in any part of their business cycle.
Right.
100,000 for maybe less than 12 months of a project, to me, that's gravy.
Right. And last but not least, what level of support will be made available to fintech participants to ensure the timely deployment of the solutions?
So support is always is something that's lacking. Again, I mentioned the TTIFC and the FinTech Hub.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some excitement to this whole Caribbean sprint, right?
Yeah.
So the RFA was launched on the 15th of March.
Right.
The process is 45 days,
mm-hmm.
where the RFA is closed.
Yeah.
And then followed by some screening of those applicants. Out of that, we're going to create a boot camp.
Right.
Where fintechs can now speak to the implementing partners, meaning the companies
right.
who are looking for the solutions.
Right.
So you'll have a real touch point as to say, yes, this is how we can look and make it feel.
Right.
But at the same point in time, you're going to have the network providers like Visa, who's going to be there offering their guidance, their support, and their security checks that comes with the payments industry. Right, we have standards to follow.
Right,
you talked about it, right? So from the cybersecurity side,
yeah,
this is the most regulated industry when it comes to payments.
Right,
so hence the reason. Sorry,
no worries.
Central banks
yeah.
are playing such an exhaustive role in it.
Yeah,
you can't roll out a solution without
them,
without paying the right compliance checks and balances in place for it.
Right, right?
This is society. We have to ensure that we are doing the right thing. So this boot camp is going to create this excitement where it's going to be held over a weekend that you have pure interaction.
Right.
The support layer is going to be built there. It's going to be supported through the TTIFC along the entire sprint journey of up to that 12 months.
Right.
But this is just the start.
Right.
There's going to be knock-on projects. There's going to be knock-on sprints. So you may be sitting with me before 12 months.
Right,
say,
right.
Ah, you're already in stage two of your Caribbean sprints.
Right.
As I said, it's not Trinidad sprints, it's Caribbean.
It's Caribbean, right. If we want to get more information on the FinTech sprint, is there a website, is there a Facebook page? Where do we get more information on the sprint?
Yes, great question. So, first of all, this is all published on the TTIFC website,
okay.
as well as the UNCDF's website.
Yeah.
There's a contact point should you have queries. We had informational sessions prior when the RFA was launched. We're going to have a couple more, so it's going to be published. We're going to actually need your help in doing some of that as well. But the main point of contact is going to be our eastern.caribbean@uncdf.org email address,
yeah,
where a lot of these questions can be funneled and answered through an FAQ. So bear in mind, this is open to everyone.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the RFA process on these websites. It's very clear what is the eligibility criteria.
Yeah.
And we are looking for a great turnout to this first inaugural Caribbean sprint.
I know it will. Is there a date that it starts? What's the start date for the sprint?
So the sprint, as I said, will probably be around the end of June, where the good part of this is going to be tied up into the launch of the FinTech Hub.
Gotcha.
So stay tuned.
Perfect. We will. And I'm sure we'll be speaking to you again closer to the time of the launch of the FinTech Hub. John, any closing words for the Digital World Freedom 106.5 family today?
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure. I support everything that you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Well done, Karen.
Thank you very much. And we definitely will. And this is one of the biggest things that I've wanted to do for a while, is to be able to create this space where these kind of conversations can happen. Because for the most part, we never really had a space to talk digital business and a lot of the things that are coming on the pipeline of this nature. So again, thank you for coming in. I know I probably stole you from a beach somewhere in Bali. But we'll have you on closer to the time when the hub is about to launch. Thanks again, John.
You're welcome.
So Freedom 106.5 family. We have more coming up after our break. We're going to be speaking to Siobhan Sabero. She is a fashion designer and creative entrepreneur. We have more to talk to her about, and we'll be back on the digital world after this.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
So we are back on the digital world, and I am Karen Rose, and I'm joined with Janine.
Good afternoon, beautiful people, Trinidad and Tobago. Welcome. This is the digital world, and I'm super excited about today's episode. Our guest in studio, so lovely, so amazing. So, I'm very excited.
You know what? I'm excited, Janine.
Tell me.
First of all, we're going into April, and this is like the first time we've, since Carnival, like we have gotten to properly do a show together.
Oh.
Yeah, because between me getting sick early, and I missed 2 weeks, then you got sick. Then you were on the road.
I have the Ministry of Youth.
So we are back, folks.
We are back. Today's going to be epic.
Yes, yes.
Dynamic duo, we're back.
And now that the dynamic duo is back, we had to ensure we brought a dynamic guest.
Yes.
So, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we are welcoming to the digital world the lovely, the wonderful, the stunning Miss Siobhan Sabero. Hello, Siobhan.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, very
thank you
talented.
So much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Of course. And on this show, we love to talk to a lot of business owners who have been building their brands digitally, especially, you know, this is the digital world. And we know that building your brand digitally these days is a challenge for a lot of up-and-coming entrepreneurs, even a lot of established businesses. You know, they understand traditional. They understand how to take out an ad in the paper, mm-hmm. run a TV ad, and things like that. But trying to build their brand and take their business online is still something that, you know, a lot of people are struggling with. But this is a place where you have really been able to leverage and thrive. So, you know, we got to talk to you, right?
Yeah, yes. true. I didn't even think about it.
You know, people are watching. People are watching and they're looking to see exactly, you know, how you have been doing it. You
absolutely.
Know? So, Siobhan, let's start things off. But you have become a fashion and lifestyle entrepreneur. What inspired you to go down this road? You know, you left corporate. What were you doing in corporate that you decided, nah, this is too much, that you wanted to, you know, segue into your own thing?
Okay. First of all, guys, I have to big up my team, as I told Karen. So my production team, I have to big them all up. I want to big up Kyla in accounts, and I want to big up my production manager, which is 18 years old. She is
really?
A woman. My entire team is women-led.
Okay.
I want to big up Maria, which is my production manager. I want to big up Wid Bailey's, which is her assistant, and Ines in sewing, and Anushka in quality control, and our Karen as well, which is our floating person, and then my newest member, which is my baby sister, and Amber. So I just had to big them all up, and my father that is always supporting me.
You got a whole team.
Yeah, my
you.
Team is amazing. I'm very blessed. It took a very long time to get them there.
During the interview, we're going to get into, you know,
I love
how
y'all.
We're going to get into, you know, how yeah, you went yeah, from, I, you know, building that team, because yeah. that is something that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, which correct. Is building that team.
Oh, so. My God. So your first question, yeah. How did I get there?
Yeah.
What a lot of people do not know about me is that I grew up in the entrepreneurial world, old school, you know, where ensuring that your customers are just super happy face-to-face,
yeah,
right? So my foundation was built on face-to-face. My father sold shoes, my aunts, uncles, everybody is just in the clothing industry.
Mm-hmm.
My first sale was probably when I was 6 years old.
Really?
Yeah, because I observed my father very carefully how he made his sales.
Wait, was this in Trinidad or was this
Venezuela.
In Venezuela? Exactly. So that's why we need to go back there
Venezuela.
A little bit. So we need to backtrack because maybe people don't know, but you are.
I am half Latina Venezolana.
I like how she says
like
it.
Yes.
My mom was Trinidadian. My father is Venezuelan. And I was born. So my dad is white, mom is black, and it's like a beautiful caramel happening.
Yeah. Right. But you were born in Venezuela, you were born in...
Born in Trinidad.
Okay, born in Trinidad, yes. But raised over there.
Yes.
So that sale you were speaking about was...
Yeah, I was sat. I remember being sat on the shoes, and people would stop and they would look at me like, what is this cute little girl? And be like, yes, look at this shoe. Like, if you put it on, like, just try it.
Right.
Like, literally mimicking my father to a T. And selling was just great. Like, the reward is just awesome. And I just grew up selling clothes. Anyways, fast forward to graduating from high school. Knowing how difficult the entrepreneur life is, yeah. I did not want to do it at all. So I wanted a stable job in a business and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I applied and I got in. Because I'm bilingual, yeah. I was born bilingual, basically. I don't know what my first language is, almost.
Okay.
My dad forced
that's
us.
Dope.
Yeah, yeah, that's my father's doing. It was traumatizing, I must say. Very traumatizing, but it was worth it. So because I was bilingual, I was able to get jobs that people with degrees couldn't get.
Right.
So I got a job in a Naviera, which is like, we deal with like boats and big shippings and stuff like that. And that was my first admin job. I was a receptionist, and it was pretty cool. And I just went from there in Venezuela, scale. I went to admin, assistant, to accounts assistant, to sales assistant, and I just started learning a lot about businesses, I guess.
Yeah.
Then my brother moved to Trinidad, and I followed him.
Okay.
And
so
I
older brother, younger brother?
Older brother.
Okay.
He's like singer, performer. He's amazing.
Wow.
Amazing human. So I came here, and I didn't come to Trinidad in a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I came, and it was totally different. It wasn't what I knew it to be when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with carnival and soca and dancing,
right,
and fets. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going home. So I stayed, and I started. My father was like, oh, you have to get a job, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God. So I started getting jobs as like, one of my first jobs here was like Carib girl, you know,
right,
like I did promotions for Carib and just any type of promotion.
I sure they were happy to have you.
yes. Pure vibes, you know, since I'm young, I just love to dance and everything. So started with Carib, and then I just got into the modeling world heavy as well. So I started doing a lot of shoots. So like, I didn't even need to have a job because it was just shoots after shoots after shoots. And then I got tired of it because of unprofessionalism as well.
Okay.
Like time and not being prepared. And I was like, okay, cool. Let me just
do something else. You were getting paid for the shoots as well.
Yeah. A lot of money. Right. Like good stuff. You know,
I was a lot of them, they just showed up at vibes too.
It was full paid jobs. Like,
okay.
But because I'm very observant. So like when I start doing something, I aim for perfection, and I aim for things to go smooth. Don't waste my time kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So when I saw that happening, I was like, okay, no. So I got another job, like I got another job in admin, reception again, started from the bottom. But why I have to add that is because I got a lot of experience with modeling and photography there, like huge.
Mm.
You understand? So it's almost like God has designed my entire life for what I'm doing right now without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to a receptionist job again. I was like 24, 25, not knowing what I ever wanted to do. I've always been pretty lost, honestly speaking. Never know what I want to do.
On a path.
You know? And
But you never really know where you're trying.
I say lost because it's completely fine, because now I know what I want to do. So, like, I could say it's okay if you don't want to know, if you don't know what you want to do. It's totally fine. I think it's very important to find yourself, to be able to find out, because a lot of times we're told who we are and we don't even know who we are, right?
Yeah.
So I started again, admin, everything, scaling again. I got to highest level of what I could do without a degree, because I didn't have a degree, which is executive assistant in an accounting firm.
Yeah.
But by then I did started studying, and I did graduate. I have a degree in public relations and journalism, actually, from COSTAT.
That's random.
Yeah, like, I know, super, right?
In journalism.
Me, but do you know...
Go ahead.
Why you started saying digital?
Yeah.
COSTAT is amazing. To me, it was a blessing. I did not have money to go to school, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, self-financed all the way. You know, my parents are in Venezuela and the situation is not easy. So CASA gave me free education and I graduated with honors, right? Which is fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank you. CASA thrives for our overall student, not just PR or journalism. They want us to know it all. So we did psychology. You have all these extra credits to do because they want to. They really push entrepreneurship in CASA, which I'm so thankful for. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting down in just different entrepreneur class. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I love psychology. But then I sat on a marketing class.
Right. Mm.
Boy, I would never forget when she started the course saying, you know, Peter wants to build a plum business and, you know, there's anything you could sell and market. And just marketing was just the key to selling something. Okay. Because I didn't understand until I got to that class. And at the end of the class, she introduced us to a little peek of digital marketing. Mm. And all I thought was, that is the future. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. And she started giving us snippets onto how stores are going to sell in stores. Like, it's going to be digital. Like, the product is probably not even going to be there. You know, you're going to be able to do it visually and just step into it and all this. And I was like, oh.
Which is what's happening.
Obsessed. I'm like, but this is not the end of my career. So I'm like, can I switch to marketing? Of course I couldn't. But I didn't need to go to school. I just started devouring courses online. And everybody just started asking me, how am I learning? And it's like, but everything is all there. Literally. Like, I paid for, like, this platform. I can't remember. $10 US for a course and just devour it.
Coursera.
Devour all of these content creators. Just obsessed with it. And to the point that, fast forwarding, when I opened Loving Me Distribution, Loving Me Clothing, they asked my boyfriend at the time, oh, you are paying somebody to do this entire thing for her. And I was like, wow, I mean, I don't know if it's a diss or a compliment. Like, how am I supposed to take that?
Yeah.
Everybody taught my marketing and it just looked impeccable. It was incredible. It was beautifully done. It was consistent, right? So that was my first company. Let's backtrack into my accounting job, which obviously, once again, got orchestrated because as a CEO now, I could see my books.
Right.
I could understand.
Yeah.
It's crazy and I do not like it at all. But I have to, you know, and that's the whole thing about being an entrepreneur is like you have to be so all-rounded and you're going to thrive at some things and others you're not going to. And that's why you have to find people that are better than you in many things.
Correct.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. So I actually got laid off of that job when I was 2018. I was 27. I was graduating. I was a lot happening. Right. And I got laid off and I'm like, started applying to all these marketing jobs. Nobody's going to hire me. Mm-hmm. I only had like experience in admin. And God, I went to all these interviews and I just wanted the job so bad and nobody wanted me. And now like I've gotten offers from like internationally, like in LA, all these kind of places to work for them in marketing. And I'm like, nope, gonna fully like focus on my business. It's very tempting. I've gotten so many offers like in the corporate world. I've had to turn them down. It doesn't make me happy and I'm okay.
Right.
But it's a lot of money you have to turn down, right?
Right.
Secure money.
Guaranteed money. Yeah. But I believe in myself and it's fine, you know, so I let it go. But anyway, I just remember going to all these interviews and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna be so good at this one day. Like if, you know, you wish somebody can give you the opportunity and the chance.
Yeah.
You really wish. But I see a lot of people have that luck. I didn't because, I mean, God knows the path he had for me. You know, so I call up my aunt and I was like, okay, I have to open my own business because blah, blah, blah. So how does the family do this?
Yeah.
How did the family sell clothes? And she gave me all the contacts and my first business was importing clothes from LA to Trinidad and I sold it and I did all these little videos and just digital marketing, beautiful aesthetic, all that kind of stuff. And it was good. That was from 2018. I registered my business. 2020, I remember going to a pop-up shop at Brian Lara and I was like just playing with the idea of designing, but it was just so hard because it's so expensive. Like when I dove into design and what I'm doing now, it was so much money. So much money. And I just thought, I remember my stepmom saying, just write down all your dreams. Just write it down. Write it down. And I just wrote it down. And you don't even know when it starts happening, but it just starts happening. You understand? And I remember I took one skirt, which is the Criselli skirt, which is my ruffle skirt, which is what took me from zero to like...
the hero?
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful skirt. It is a beautiful skirt. I remember when I started to see it trending on my social media, and I took notice and I said, okay, I see it, Siobhan. I like it.
And
very, very nice.
One person that bought it, her name is Nika, she bought it and she just posted one story. And it just kind of blew up, and she didn't have a massive following, but it just looked so good. And I didn't even have a top. She was wearing her own top, and I was like, okay, I need to do a crop top now.
Yes.
Because it's like, and she just tagged me personally. I didn't even have SS label page, nothing like that.
Wow.
And it wasn't even the tropical prints that I usually have, like what I have on now. It was like a black and white print. That's my classic. And I sold like, what, 200 skirts after that?
Really?
Yeah. It was like, it just blew up, and I had to get the logo and everything. And then the pandemic hit. Right. So that's 2019. For 2019 carnival, 2020 was the last carnival we had?
Yes, correct.
So 2020, I sold a little bit, you know, nothing Monday wear, nothing like that. I only did resort and very few pieces. I probably had like 5 styles. Made okay type of money, and then pandemic hit and everything just stops. Everything just stops, and I'm like, I just remember like being in my room or whatever, and just like, whoa, I remember when I almost started a designer career, you know, because now nothing is guaranteed. You don't know what's happening. And I remember another designer, she came out stating, you know, this was actually Chandra, which I admire a lot. She's amazing.
Chandra Mirage.
Yes. And she just came out talking about why she's doing the mask and all this kind of stuff. And she inspired me a lot. And how it keeps, you know, it keeps business running and the economy running, basically.
Right.
It was very important. So got motivated. I did my own mask. I literally engineered my own mask because I was like, it's like a reversible mask, all kind of thing happening.
To match the outfit. I remember to match the outfit.
All kind of thing happening. And we sold like, what, over 3,000 masks. And I was able to keep staff. I was able to keep my relationships with my suppliers. I was able to invest in my, because I wasn't traveling also, you know, your focus changes. And I was able to invest in my 2 first machines, industrial machines, which my house, which are very expensive.
Yeah.
And I bought top-of-the-line machines because I just wanted the best.
Of course, yes.
And I guess it starts from there, like production, you know, and the production world. And just that is a whole world that has nothing to do with design almost. It's just so, I don't know, different. So much logistics. You know, and then I have to keep the marketing pumping still, and then I have to be creative with the designs, and then I have to inspire my staff, and then I have to grow. So, once again, the way that God orchestrated my life, it was, you know, the grit. I was telling you, I was bullied in school.
Yes.
You know, like everything. Unfortunately, my mother passed when I was 14.
Wow.
Right, condolences.
Yeah, thank you. I'm able to speak about it now, and I want to do so much about that. You know, lupus, awareness about lupus. Back in those days, my mom had no awareness at all. She was one of the first people to get diagnosed, unfortunately. So there was not much knowledge about it. So, you know, God has orchestrated my life in a way that I can be very resilient. You know, because it's not really what happens to you, it's how you get back and respond from it. So that's entrepreneurship
in a nutshell. Now, what piqued my interest a little bit there, you spoke about production. I want to speak a little bit about the design and maybe runway a little bit in Venezuela, in home and in Trinidad. What do you think? The comparisons. Tell us a little bit about dabbling with both.
Latino fashion. I don't really like it. Unfortunately, I don't like it. No. you know, when I came to Trinidad and I dove into the culture and trying to understand Trinidad culture a lot better, and even just traveling after the culture, like, I'm obsessed with the Trini accent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with the food. I'm obsessed with a lot of things and the history of it as well.
Mm.
And why we are as a people, how we are, you know. And we're very loving. And it's, I think, you know, it takes... Sometimes, you know, you have to get in the Trini person heart to get it out sometimes, but the love is there for the culture and everything. But when it comes to, like, the diversity of Trinidad, it's stunning. Like, Venezuela is a little copy and paste for me.
Okay.
With styles and trends.
Right.
Trinidadians express more colors and prints. And, you know, there's no prints in Venezuela. None of this happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of my staff, they're Venice, and they grew into prints because of how I style it.
Yeah.
But obviously, my styling is balanced because of my Venezuelan culture.
Mm-hmm.
So my diversity comes from, you know, the Venezuelan with the Trinidadian. It's married.
Yes.
And it creates SS label.
I could see that in the reflection of your first skirt, as you mentioned, because it has the ruffles.
Absolutely,
and you know,
course.
it's the flamenco, that dance.
5 years,
you know,
of flamenco. I'm a dancer, like jazz. I dance flamenco, sevillana. Like, you have to do sevillana first into flamenco.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all my paso sevillanas, I know it. I loved it. My mom danced with me. It was awesome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. My exact. I mean, obviously, I'm obsessed with flamenco as a child, so right. That is going to be my first go-to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ruffles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely, it seeps through so well.
Thank you.
We're so proud to have you representing
you.
As well, because, she could have decided, hey, water, Venezuela. I like it. I go to this over there, you know.
Yeah.
They have a big population. I'm going to get the support.
Yeah, this is true.
And as I touch on support, you feel the support in Trinidad and Tobago, or do most of your sales and support come from your regional or international following?
No, my support is 100% Trinidad. I think because I didn't grow up here, it was a lot like, who's this girl kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It foreign and good.
That's the attitude Trinis have.
Yeah.
That's the attitude Trinis have.
So you really have to understand the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You have to adapt to survive, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I adapted, I understood, and I'm very, you know, I think a lot and I observe a lot.
Yeah.
So I understand how to play the game.
You got to be cognizant.
Yeah. You have to understand how to play the game. And I just started meeting different people and just... always seeking the honest crowd and the real crowd and just the people that, you know, could help you build yourself and love you for who you are as well.
I ain't lying. Every time I see you in public, it's a very good crowd to be in. It is a very influential crowd to be in whenever I see you in public. I want to ask a question. You were talking about when you were thinking about getting into the design aspect, but then there was the cost, right? What types of costs are you looking at for becoming a designer? Because I know this is something that a lot of people are thinking about getting into. We're seeing a lot of brands popping up all over the place.
What types
of costs are we talking about when getting into designing?
So when I started, so right now I have to talk quickly about Fashion TT and what they're doing and the production house that they have. Very low MOQs and very cost effective production. So for
Lisa
designers,
runs Fashion TT.
Yes,
shout
Lisa.
Out to Lisa. Yeah.
Lisa, big up yourself.
Yeah.
Amazing work what you're doing. Lisa Daniel, really amazing work. They have that option, and you could just go with your design there, your dream, and they could take it from there. Me, I already have I built my production house. So to start, there's a lot of costs like sampling, you have fabric. And then, I mean, if you can buy 3 yards, 10 yards, then you're making a sample piece, and then you have to grade it. Grading costs money, patterns cost money. Labor costs money for these things, you know. So there's material cost, there's labor cost, and then we have what, social media marketing, boosting, influencers, which I have to thank a lot of my influencers. They are, you know, it takes a lot, you know, it takes a lot. So I really want to thank my influencers like Lysia Khan and Anastasia Mutu, Megan Muhammad, Kalista, that are just. They love the brand and they push it. no matter what, you know. And obviously my clients, like, I would never be here without them. Absolutely love them.
If you are a startup entrepreneur and funds are low, right? Mm-hmm. Funds are low. Broke, fried, broke.
Okay.
You're part of that capital house, right?
The answer.
How do you start? What's the best way to start to get into it on a budget?
On a budget. So Loving Me helped me save for that dream that I have now, which is my first business. You have to be very focused and not get caught up in the hype. So know what you want, right? If you want one design and you're sticking to that and you have a good marketing plan and you're running your finances, okay, you know, I would say marketing, and that doesn't have to be expensive at all, because you can teach yourself how to market. And I think what I have to tell the people that are out there is jump. Don't like be scared or ashamed of anything, of putting yourself out there. Even if it's not you, even if it's a model, whatever. I like Loving Me Clothing. Nobody knows me. I only had models. It was not me. I was behind the scenes completely. So whatever it is, just do the plunge. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to learn. So make sure you have your social media, and then make sure that your design is you in any way possible, like how my skirt was my essence.
Yes.
I think when you have a little essence of that, and like focus on you, don't focus on what the other person is doing. I think a lot of it is mindset. It's not even money, because I didn't have much money. So I can't even say, oh my God, I had a lot of money to start what I did. It was my mindset, and just like things start happening. You have to have a very positive mindset. So, you know, you go to a seamstress, you tell them what you want, and you can't hope for the best. And the only way to get the best is with your mindset.
Yeah. Exactly.
So your mindset has to be there. It's not even about the funds. The funds are going to come.
The funds will come. Yeah.
Always
you
come.
You stick to it. Once you stick
I mean, if
to
you have
it.
20, 100, of course, for any startup, you have to save up a little something, right? To girls out there that want to start it, you don't need $10,000. You don't need $20,000. You can start with a little $5,000 that will cost you enough to do some sampling. Once you have your samples and they're approved, you can do your grading, your chart sizes, and that kind of stuff. And just do some fun, genuine marketing for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this. I love the conversation, because I know there's so many young people, especially, I mean, I hosted Red Runway last year. So there's so many young designers, so many young models that are out here, you know, that we can touch, that, you know, might feel, hey, I could do this thing.
Yeah.
I didn't need so much money. I could try it.
You do not need much money.
Yeah, that is beautiful things.
Oh, and keep your job. I had 5 jobs when I was starting my business.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, I was doing admin for a football company, football factory. I was teaching Spanish. I was cat sitting.
Okay.
I was doing admin for the cat sitter person.
Okay. Okay.
And my fifth was social media. I had 4 social media accounts on my belt.
Wow. Now, this cat sitting, you know, this has to be a new form of employment down here in TNT.
Well, my neighbor has 3 cats, and I've been employed to watch them cats.
What is this? You too?
Yeah.
People, I can sit a cat. Yeah. I can do that. I can cat sit.
Yeah.
And for those of you out there, maybe you want to start that job, you could do it, cat sitting.
You could
it's
do it.
It's something, apparently. So there you go. New
is,
things.
It
yeah,
thing.
It is.
Make
money. It
is.
But
it is.
I had a lot of jobs, and my 6th was my business.
Right.
It was a lot happening.
Listen.
I believed in myself a lot. And I was just very, as I said, you have to be focused. You cannot be looking to the sides. You know, I heard a podcast today about eBay, why they failed, and what Alibaba did.
Right.
What he did, what eBay was doing, is that he was too focused on the competitors. And what Alibaba did is that he was focused on the customers. 1,000% focused on the customers. He said, you know, if my customers want me to do something different, they'll say it. They would tell me. But
and
don't
do
look
it.
At what your competitors are doing.
And then try to copy.
And modify and try and change your brand,
And not even that.
Yeah.
It's the focus, you know, because your energy just goes on, I need to be better than my competitor, versus I need to serve and I need to solve a problem.
Correct.
That is
you're in business to solve a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is the whole point of business. Why am I thriving? Please, God, I pray that we continue to do it. I have a whole team that needs to eat. So I'm very motivated now. But when I didn't, I had to keep myself motivated. And I, you know, you look for the, what are the problems in Trinidad? Customer service, easy.
Of course.
I love the way this conversation is going. And listen, this is the reason why we brought Siobhan here. We're going to go take a quick break, yes, drink some water, pay some bills, listen to a song, regroup, and come right back again. Please keep it locked to Freedom 106.5. This is The Digital World with Janine Edwards, myself, Karen Rose, and Siobhan Sabero.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we are back live here on The Digital World. You know what else is back? The Caribbean's number one cannabis industry show, Heights, is back. And season two will be even bolder and better. From the depths of agriculture to the heights of spirituality, from the flavors of cuisine to the frontiers of the economy, we will explore everything related to the Caribbean cannabis. Join hosts Sonny Bling, Otto Carrington, Joshua C. Mungle, Kia Thomas, and Derek Achong for season two of Heights on Tuesdays from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Slam 100.5 FM and Freedom 106.5 FM. Follow the conversations live on our social media pages. Heights, the groundbreaking show where knowledge grows, is back for season two. Oh boy, Siobhan. Go ahead, Janine.
I'm so excited about Heights being back, though.
You're excited?
Yeah, the discussion is great. And I'm excited because I have so much more questions for Siobhan before even, like,
thing. Yeah, because we started kind of late, so we still have a few minutes, you know. So go ahead, man, kick it off. You kick it off. Janine.
Thank you so much. Listen, Janine
don't need no prep. Janine just is a walk and go. She could just go. She don't need no prep. No, she just good.
Well, I really want to ask a question now. Now, so tell me, you did touch a little bit on teaching English. You said you do that.
I taught Spanish.
And English. Do you teach English or you just teach Spanish?
No, I taught Spanish just to a kid that was in international school. I had to teach him and help him out. I don't do that.
Okay.
As anything.
Okay.
He had a curriculum and I just was there helping him.
Because I'm excited to know, you know, because I know so many.
But my mother was an English and Spanish teacher. So once again, I guess it comes from her. She worked in PDVSA in Venezuela.
Don't lie. My grandpa worked for PDVSA as well.
The Latino love is heavy inside here.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I got my question in there. Mm-hmm. Let's see which other one.
I was getting ready to go and hire my Spanish teacher. And then she's like, Jim just crushed before I could even meet, you know?
LOL. Tell us a little bit about your creative process. Or a day in the life of when you're being creative. You wake up and how does it start and end?
Wow, it's changed, unfortunately, because I have so much more responsibilities now than when I started. Mm-hmm. When I started, I didn't have much to lose. Now I have a lot, you know. So my creativity has to go down a lot because I have to be a CEO and make sure that bills are paid and, you know, I have a commercial space and I have staff and all these things. So when I started, though, I just used to buy fabric like crazy. Like, my creative process starts, I look at something and I could just see what it's going to be.
Yes, I do that too. Yes,
I could just see what it's going to be. I could see what I want to match it. I could see the person, the size, because, you know, my brand is all sizes, all colors.
Yes.
I could see where they're going with it. That's just what it is. And even if I couldn't see it and I just like the fabric, I'll leave it there. I'll just buy it and
rest it down
until I find something to do with it. Now it's like budgets.
Right.
And if there's something left, I could buy a little extra and keep it there until I feel a little inspiration to do something with it.
I have a really good follow-up question to that is, how do you balance creativity and profitability?
How do you balance? Balance is the key. Everybody wants to attain it. Do we have it? I don't think so.
Because, I mean, you could see a piece of fabric or have a design in mind. And by the time you start to, you know, look at getting the materials that you need to piece together.
You're preaching. You're preaching.
I don't want to preach. I want to know from you, like, you know, how do you balance that creativity and profitability?
I don't even know. I'm trying to still hit that sweet spot, you know, where, you know, because it takes a while to even get a you know, when you invest in all of these, it takes a while to even get your investment back, you know, when you still have to keep rolling and keep investing in the budget of the staff and the budget of the materials and the budget of the marketing. And then you start a new collection, and then it's like, how do you wear, you know, you have to get the funds for that a whole other way. So to answer your question, I am still figuring that out.
And that's fine too.
You know, because I don't have it all figured out, unfortunately. And that's I'm figuring that out right now.
And that's good.
As you know, I'm building my website.
Yes. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
It looks very good.
Thank you. Yeah, boy. Colin.
Yeah.
Amazing designer. Wow. Incredible. So quick. In a week, it was ready. Literally. Right. I was just like, dude, you are extremely talented. And that's once again, you know, Trinidad talent. I am impressed. Oh, Trinidad has so much talent. I can't even begin to touch, like, models, photographers, just everything. The creativity, the mind of the Trini is so diverse, and I absolutely love it. And yeah, so much talent here. But, you know, unfortunately, I have not reached. Well, okay, profits and creativity, perfectly great. My idea, though, is to a lot more of the... So in the future, it's either going to be I have an in-house designer completely that has my exact vision, that she can take over more of the design, because Michael Kors does not design for Michael Kors. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
he does not.
Yeah.
All right? And a lot of brands, it is like that. Balmain, like all these people, you know, they hire in-house designers that have the same vision as the brand. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go down that road or if I'm just going to be the designer and have a CEO, but I love being the CEO. So I'm torn. I would love to find somebody that's better than me, somebody that's like, you know, but I believe the CEO aspect. I absolutely love it. So we'll see.
Girl, be the CEO. I like you up there. Now, how do you come up with the marketing plans for the brand in such a competitive space? Because everybody in Trinidad, including myself, we designers. Mm-hmm. We designer, we're making something. So how on earth do you do it?
The marketing, right? Not like it's started. Right now, I don't even like I'm doing my whole marketing plan once again. But the way it started, I think my brand was put on the map because of the people wearing it, the diversity, the consistency, as I said, and then choosing the right influencers and just not being scared of being out there. So I push it. I don't care if, oh God, Siobhan is too much on my face. Unfollow me. I don't really care. You know, like, so like a lot of people are like, you know, they don't want to promote themselves. They don't want to promote their brand. So I don't think I did. Oh, well, I mean, I do a lot. Yes, I do visuals. I do reels. I do everything. So I just don't box myself, and I just mimic what's working and what's performing.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's just being consistent, believing in yourself. And I mean, I do have my moments where like right now, I'm not even at the forefront of the brand as much as I would like to be. Like right now, I'm going to do more content myself because I've been wrapped up being a CEO, so I can't do the content for my brand. But I want to.
Right.
I really want to. My clients love when I model. I'm not going to be modeling. Thank God they let go of that idea. Because it used when I transitioned into letting go of my modeling and having models, they're like, ah. And then they love the models. So
yeah.
I'm happy. They're like, oh my God, Janelle is amazing. And Megan and this and anything she wears, I want to wear. And so I'm happy about that. But at the same time, like personally, when I do a content or when I do a reel or a dress up or styling, they love it. Because I am Siobhan. I am my brand.
Yes.
So, you know, talking about my brand, I am compelled to talk about ethical clothing and sustainability because that's where also my passion for what I do comes from.
Right.
You know, I see my staff, they work very hard, and I can't imagine doors being closed when they're hungry or when they're ready to go home. And this is what the reality is in the world. In case y'all did not know, y'all can Google ethical clothing and sweatshops and all these things, and it is modern day slavery, and it is happening right now.
Of course.
And it's a serious situation. So you need to be careful what clothes you're wearing. And to even go broader, anything that's manufacturing is very sweatshop-ish. Okay, so I don't want to be hypocritical and like I have an iPhone. I don't know how this was created. Mm. You understand? Like, when you really think about it.
The mines of the Congo.
Yeah, so it's a lot happening. What I can control and what I can be a voice of right now is clothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't be a voice for everything. But I can be a voice for at least the clothing. And a lot of people that didn't know about ethical clothing, they know now. You know, just know who's making your clothes. Check it out, you know, like, buy clothes that's going to last you a little longer. Build a wardrobe capsule that you can mix and match. Rewear your clothes. It's okay. You're going to be okay. I rewear my clothes all the time.
See a lot of clothing swaps happening as well?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean clothing swaps? Sorry.
Clothing swaps. Like, they have a lot of clothing swaps. Events where people can bring in their clothing.
Right.
And then everybody brings in their clothing and then they can pretty much like swap their clothes with other people.
Yeah, and thrift stores.
And thrift stores.
And thrift stores.
1,000% for it. Like, so yeah, ethical clothing is a thing. I understand that sometimes supporting local could be a little more expensive, but it's like any brand. Like, you want to buy a Nike shoes so that it lasts you a very long time.
Yeah.
It is like anything. So wear it and weigh your costs and stuff and just have the consciousness of what's going on in the world as well.
Siobhan, you're in a space that is one of the most competitive spaces ever.
Absolutely.
Right? Fashion, again, and everybody is coming out with their own brands these days and wearing their own clothes. Do you ever feel pressure when differentiating yourself in such a saturated market when everybody is coming out with a brand every single day? Do you ever feel pressured?
Absolutely.
Talk about it.
The trends and the different contents. I can't keep up with any of it. I can't, unfortunately. So that's where my very huge motto of focus on yourself. Don't look to the sides. Be very blinded about what's going on. I would kind of have informers, so like my little influencers, they'll tell me what trends are going on, but I can't be on it in everything, you know, you just can't.
Yeah.
And then anxiety builds up, and you know, you have to be very careful with anxiety in this world, because whatever you feel, that's what you manifest. So you have to just breathe. That's what I have tattooed right here. So that when I'm driving, I'll remember, breathe, you know, like, you have to breathe, because it's a lot of pressure, as you may know. It is very saturated. There's a lot happening, and everybody seems to know what you should be doing always. And they're telling you what to do, but they don't do it. And it's like, I'm okay. So that's why I'm very, like, in my own. I'm very just working. I keep to myself. I keep to certain people. I love meeting people, and I love people, you know. But because of all the voices and all the social media, I have to stay very focused, because it's scary. If I lose my focus, I slip. So
then too much people depending on you.
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of people.
Definitely. Now, which marketing channel, you touched on it a little bit, but which marketing channel or social media platform has been your most fruitful?
Instagram. Yes, Instagram. Don't get caught up in the hype, guys. Instagram is not real. I'm letting you all know from now. But use it for what it is. It's a tool. It's a fantastic tool to find people, to find inspiration, to see how others are doing it. Like, I've found so many inspirational women on Instagram, and I love it, and I take it for what it is. But I don't put my whole life on it, and I don't put my whole money on it, you know. It's like, take it for what it is. It's Instagram, and it's just people being people. But yeah, Instagram has made me a lot of money.
That's good to know.
Are you on TikTok now?
I can't keep up. I've tried. I have it, but I don't know how to use it properly. I don't even know. So I am Instagram, like, I mean, the algorithm changes all the time and all these things. So Instagram is like being a doctor, right? You have to be keeping up all the time, which is okay, because it makes you money. But TikTok, I tried on TikTok, doesn't make me as much money as Instagram.
So what I was going to ask is, you know, as a business owner, as a CEO, as somebody who is leveraging social media to build their business so that they can get sales, you know, how do you feel about having to keep up with what the platforms are doing so that you're in tune with all these changes, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of changes, and a lot of changes can affect your actual business. You know, how does that make you feel?
Ooh, it makes me feel like I just have to step it up. You know, even when you get left behind, you have to remember that you can get up again and run behind the bus and get on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just stay down. Don't just be like, shit, I missed this. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I missed this. Yeah,
it's freedom, right?
Freedom. don't stay behind. Don't, you know, keep motivated. I can understand, you know, you can get so sad and depressed and all these feelings. Go through your emotions. That's why it's a lot of mindset. You know, because I felt it. I felt the pressure, and I just have to focus still on what I have, the task ahead, and then I could run to the bus.
Yeah.
You understand?
And you will get on.
And I will get on. And hopefully somebody could help me, even though, that's a whole other topic. Help. Boy. God is my supply. Literally.
I like how you have it just everywhere to remind you.
I do. Abundance is my birthright. Right there.
Wow.
I need it. I need it. I need to always remember, you know, and right here, have believe in yourself.
So getting help has been...
Very tough. Very tough. Very competitive. I'm not saying that people don't help at all, but people are very closed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's especially women, you know.
Do you get that as well, Janine? You've been building your brand as well. I know.
Almost definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in my arena.
In your arena.
Against the wonderful young men in my country. It's a challenge. But
yeah.
We fight, we get up, we do it all over again.
Correct.
The next day, you know. It's truly inspiring, though, I tell you, because I've been watching her journey online. You know, you see someone online and you're like, oh, but look at you now.
Yeah.
New designs, pajamas, you know, all these things, everything just popping up. So it's really nice to see that transition. I want to ask you this, though. Did you always have a website, or, you know, is that something new?
No, you don't need a website to make money.
No.
No, I now build a website. It doesn't even have much things in it. It just has like 30 products, and we have so much more. And it was just to launch the Monday Wear. Otherwise, I use WhatsApp catalog and Instagram to sell my stuff.
Okay. What is the sale process like? So if someone was going to order from you, like, what was the process like?
These poor girls, but they love it. They snap, they send it on WhatsApp, and they order. My stuff is custom made to the body, because... You know, I have problems finding clothing because I am big busted, small waist. So I'm like medium hair, extra small.
Right.
You know,
right.
So like, what's going to really fit me?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing much. So that's why I created my business model around custom made clothing. So, it takes a little toll on production, obviously, because they're not just producing small, medium, large. They're doing custom, you know, by sizes. But they got used to it. They love it. They're up for the challenge. They usually snap a picture, send it to me. I give them the price, everything. I send them a video measurement. They send me back the measurements, and I send them all the payment options, and that's it, really.
Okay.
Pretty much. They are overwhelmed by the options and things sometimes. So I'm like, it's fine, it's normal.
And we have a caller coming in. Let's see if we can bring them in. Hi, caller, you're live on the digital world.
Hello?
Hello, hi. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, good day. I'm calling about the apartments in San Fernando. Could you give me some info?
Oh, this is the wrong number. This is actually Freedom 106.5. You're actually live on air right now. No worries. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
That's so funny.
That's okay. That's all right. Back to the website now. So I want to know, to ensure the quality of your clothing, how do you ensure that all your pieces are just, you know, up to your level? I know you said you had someone on the team that quality control
team. Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember when I had like my first Christmas, it was during the pandemic. And we made a bunch of pans and a bunch of things. It was like a bunch of like back then was like 50 orders, you know, like consistent. And I was like, oh my God. And then all the pans had a defect.
Wow. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I learned what I had to do. I was like, oh, quality control.
And you always learn that the hard way too.
Oh, the money way, right?
The money.
That is the hard way, the money way. I have a quality control checklist that I implemented myself, where I was very hands-on with it.
Yeah.
And I train the person that's coming in all the time.
Right.
I do quality control surprises, checks. So like I could even order something from X person and it's not even them, it's me. Kind of a thing. I just find different ways to do it. I walk into production, I look at when they're sewing, I could spot errors instantly. Mm-hmm. I pick up from the production basket one time, I would see the defects and I would let them do the quality control and see if they found it. Like just different ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because not everybody does that. And then there's no, I mean, who's going to inspect this in Trinidad? Mm-hmm. If you understand what I mean.
Yeah, correct.
It's a free-for-all out.
And then when people are, the first thing people are quick to do is run on social media and say, hey.
Oh, don't get
that's
me started.
That's what I'm now going to ask her. How does she do with customer feedback and criticism? How do you do that?
So for Carnival now, I was very focused. I was very anxious. And in a healthy anxiety, right? Because of the amount of orders, it was 10x of what I'm used to.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
So I was just at home. I couldn't even walk into my production house. I didn't work from work. I worked from home because of the anxiety of like, when is this going to be ready? When is it, you know, it's just too many pieces.
Right.
It's too much. So I don't even know how they did it, but they did it. You understand? Like we had 10x the amount of orders and they were just going and going. So I'm very proud of my production team. But the logistics behind that was crazy. Because I don't have a software to do everything for me right now. I don't have a website. So it was a lot. Like, who's getting what? Who's paying what? Who's picking up? Who's... What? Who even ordered? Did your order even go through? Mm-hmm. You know? And unfortunately, there were other designers that had issues with production because of what happened with the mask bands. And then they have no seamstresses and all that kind of stuff. I didn't have that issue, thankfully. But at the same time, like, these are problems that happened. And then, as you said, people just jump on and they just criticize the designer and all these kind of mad things. And I understand, like, a lot of things. People are like, oh, you could tell them and stuff like that. But it's literally so much going on already. You know, like, I could see how things could happen. Mm-hmm. That you could just slide. How you could just forget an order. How you could just... I could see. And I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm not saying that it's okay. But I'm just saying that, you know, when you get a wrong order from Sephora or Victoria's Secret, you don't go batshit crazy talking badly about them.
And one of the things, and this is why I always advocate for every business to start building their systems, one being your website.
Oh, so yeah,
when you run every single sale, because it could be credit card, it could even be bank payment, when you run everything to your website, everything comes via email. You get an email, they get an email, and you actually have a system and your CRM is documented, everything.
The best.
When it comes through, when a lot of businesses are only using things like WhatsApp and whatnot, it's easy for somebody to miss something.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse, if they don't even have like a WhatsApp business and are just using DMs. When you have DMs for orders all over the place, DMs from Facebook, DMs from Instagram, DMs from TikTok, DMs from WhatsApp,
mm-hmm.
orders are all over the place.
Yeah, no.
And there's no centralized place where you know what ordered or if money even passed. And the one thing I'll always say, you know, why you want to run things through your website is because money passed.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's through your website, somebody has made that payment.
Yeah.
Right. When somebody has placed an order through WhatsApp, that doesn't necessarily mean, like when you're looking back, doesn't necessarily mean they've paid. You're just seeing what they have placed the order on. Then you got to do, you know, wherever you're, you know, you're tracking your money stuff, you got to go and double check that. So it's just more work. But yeah, when you're seeing a lot of the criticisms come online, again, a lot of it is just businesses just don't have the necessary systems in place.
Correct.
And then, you know, and then what makes it even worse is that we're not necessarily known for customer service or customer experience.
Yeah, which makes it worse.
So then the people, the businesses are arguing with you back and forth publicly and sometimes privately, but everything is, even when it's private, mm-hmm. it still goes public,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you're arguing back and forth about things where, again, if you had certain systems in play, that would be
yeah,
that'd
and
be
then
different.
The other issue, the anxiety about fabric, even finding the fabric, or if you're importing, like getting it on time for such deadlines like Carnival Monday wears, like it's mm-hmm. a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we wrap up today, because it's been an hour. Listen, if time flies when you're having fun,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as we wrap up, I want to know, what has been your most memorable experience in building your clothing brand to this day?
My most memorable, it goes twofold, just understanding that the people that buy from me buy into my vision, they buy into the style, the quality, which I love, and I love to give that, and I love to help in that way, because people are like, oh, I can't find this, and I can't find that, and I got it, you know, and I'm so happy, and that is like amazing, like, I think like 80% of my clients are mummies, and you know, like, wow. For them to feel great, like, to me is like, oh, sometimes if I'm PMSing I will cry. And then the other side is seeing how my staff grows and evolves, and right. also buy into my vision, you know, so that's the most rewarding, you know, to inspire them. I inspire them on both sides, whether you buy from me because of inspiration or whatever the case is. I'm thankful for it, and I'm thankful for both sides, for my in-house people that are growing, and I see them, just their mindset getting strengthened, because that is my life purpose. It's just to inspire and to strengthen as much as you can in any way, and let everybody pass that on and pass that on and pass that on, pass on the inspiration, pass on the faith, pass on the belief. That is what it is about. You know, if I can do it, anybody could do it, trust me, in anything that you want to do. Doesn't matter if it's small or big, whatever your purpose is, just go for it, you know. So that was my purpose. My purpose is to help people on both sides, both my clients and my in-house staff and my family. I do it for my family. My family in Venezuela, and a lot of people need help, as you may know.
Of course.
So I have to help a lot, and that's why I want to make a lot of money to help them as well. So, yeah.
Aww. We love you. But how can we find you for people that are listening now and they want to order these beautiful, amazing outfits? How can we find you on the social media and the website? And
the website is www.SiobhanSubaruLabel.com. My Instagram is @SiobhanSubaruLabel. And yeah, our WhatsApp is 707-7775, which is 707-7SSL.
Nice.
And yeah, just hit us up. We're open and always excited for new customers, all returning customers. I love them all. I think I want to have one day a show where I can just highlight all the amazing women that I meet.
You should.
Because, wow, I'm just like, you do this and you do that, and I'm like, wow, I attract such beautiful humans. That's so cool. It's so cool. It really is, that I wouldn't get to meet otherwise, but through my business.
Mm-hmm.
So, yo, big up yourselves, all of y'all, my clients. Y'all are amazing. You know, mummies that are just doctors and lawyers, and I'm just there like, how do y'all do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
wow. And they're looking at you the same way.
Yes. Yes, I am sure. And, you know, I can't wait to have a family of my own as well, you know. So, I
just
don't know.
Just now, soon time.
Yes. One step at a time.
You're not Jamaica. I kid. Siobhan, thank you for coming into the digital world. Again, I knew the minute you said yes, and I know you're like, are you sure? Listen, nah, come on. Because I know you have a lot of gems and information and insights to offer. You have been blossoming over the years.
Thank you.
And we in Trinidad get to witness it.
Oh,
so it's been lovely.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that, guys. You're awesome energy. I am a fan of you, Karen, which is like, I was like, okay, cool. Because like what you're doing is amazing. Educating.
Yes.
this culture and people, and a lot of people, like my, I had a social media manager. She follows you a lot.
Wow.
You know, so you're inspiring a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Keep it up and just keep giving us the resources and keep doing you and standing up for what's right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I will definitely do that. Folks, we will be back.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Now, Janine, you've been checking out the Heights show from season one. What have your thoughts been on it?
I think it needed to happen. The discussion needs to happen in an open, honest platform, and the information needs to get out there because there are a lot of myths and a lot of people don't have the good information. So we need to put it out there. And applaud Sonny Bling and the team that are making it possible, man. Really, really do, because they had some interesting guests last season, I should say, including my friends Asha and Ayana, the Wadada sisters.
They were on.
Shout out to Wadada every time. They were on the program Heights. And it was good. It was very informative. And we, of course, the Heights community, celebrating 420 next month.
That's just now.
420 is next month. So it's nice that the series is coming back on so that people could have an honest opinion. Because I feel like right now the information is a bit blurred, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of misinformation surrounding cannabis and medicinal marijuana and benefits and anything like that.
Yep.
You know, so I'm thankful for it being back on.
Shout outs to Sonny Bling and the team, Freedom 106.5 and Slam 100.5 for the Heights show, because you see, it's all these types of programs that we need. You know, I hear people complain about radio and TV and the quality of content all the time. I love the fact that I think Guardian has been doing a pretty good job as to curating a lot of quality content these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good programming. There's a lot of good people that are coming on our platforms to give us some pretty good information. So shout out to the Guardian crew as well.
Correct.
You know, while we have you here, we have a few minutes left. You don't necessarily need to be following it per se, but, you know, have you heard about the looming TikTok ban?
No, what's happening with TikTok?
I heard
that there is a new a country wants to implement that if you have to post filters as influencers, that you have to post that you've used a filter so that you're not scamming.
Oh, yeah. That's I think we will talk about that next week as well. That's a big thing, too, and I think it's needed. What's going on with TikTok? In a quick nutshell, I talked about this in the beginning. In a quick nutshell, the U.S. and a wide variety of the United Nations countries are looking to do a sweeping ban of TikTok from the app stores, right? They don't want it in their country because TikTok is a Chinese-owned country, a tiny Chinese-owned app, and the app can be used to collect, well, it is collecting data on everybody who is using the platform. The problem is they don't want that information ending up in the hands of the Chinese government, right? Now here's,
so they were okay all the years with it ending up in the United States government.
Well, here's the fun parts about it, right? China doesn't, and this is one thing a lot of people don't know, China doesn't allow any U.S. apps in their country.
Yes, I am aware of that.
So Google, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Well, they don't have those. They don't have those.
Yeah, they don't use that.
They have their own thing.
Yes.
But they don't allow any U.S. apps in their country, right? And that's because China doesn't, for the exact same reason, China does not want the U.S. to have any apps that collect data on Chinese citizens, right? So that's that's one. We have a call. Let's see. Let's bring them in. Caller, let's see. Caller, good day. You're on Digital World.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Yes, I've been talking about China and the US and the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to impose this, this ban on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would go to it because China put a ban on some of those US apps.
Correct.
And the UK and these other countries are doing similar.
Correct. So,
yes. And the thing about this, this is really ludicrous in terms of my view. And let me tell you why. If you are talking about one world, we are living in one world. We ought to share information. In terms of, you look at those apps, of course, you'll be sharing data.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are you going to use the information for? So China is hearing that there can be influence in terms of an uprising. So as you know, Xi Jinping would have been indoctrinated, and Mao Zedong, those are the only two people who would have been indoctrinated in the constitution. And of course, if you get opposition support via influence on the UK and US, they see that as the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Similar, the UK and the US see China influence of collecting data from predominantly young persons as in terms of influence,
mm-hmm.
in terms of where you are looking at one world in which China, in terms of people aren't aware of, is trying to push. So there is an agenda for that. So maybe the US thinks it is, and the UK thinks, well, we are not going to do that. Similar,
right.
If you would realize, remember in Canada, there was someone there from Huawei who would have been arrested. You remember that, Terran?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Right. And that was in terms of information and big talk was breach.
Correct.
At the
correct.
End of the day, once you go onto these apps, I will want to know who is the user on my app. Would you agree with me, Terran?
Yeah. I think at this point, all of the apps, it's just political at this point, right? The U.S. doesn't want anybody who is not on their side to have access to their data. Similarly, it's the exact same thing on the flip side. China does not want any of their competitors or nations they're at odds with to have any apps within their ecosystems that could collect the data. And I think this is just the where we're at, China.
And of course, collecting the data, as I tell you, is for influencer.
Of course, yeah.
It is for influence. So when we see this geo-conflict that we are seeing here with China, US, UK, it is not surprising. And in terms of how they would be moving forward, at the end of the day, the people who will not benefit from this would obviously be the people in that country, that specific country.
Gotcha.
And that specific region.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I wanted to raise with Karen, in terms of monetization,
mm-hmm.
apps in Trinidad, can they be monetized? Because I'm being told that you have to do it via US.
Well, your IP addresses are pretty much tracked, so the applications know where you are located. So none of the monetization features or e-commerce features on platforms like Instagram or Facebook are available for us in the entire Caribbean, right? So what I tell everybody is if you're looking to monetize, create your own platforms, get your website. YouTube is the only platform that we could use in the entire Caribbean that
right.
you can create your content on, and YouTube actually pays us in US dollars via check or direct deposit. Or, you know, build out your own platforms, your website, your email list. You can monetize off of those things and just use social media to drive traffic and build your brand.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about that, I don't know if you will agree with me here, the Minister of Finance and other agents, they can put things in place to assuage that issue. I mean, if we're talking about going digital and all this thing on this aspect, I mean, it should be. You agree with me?
I don't know how much control they have over that in terms of the social media platforms, but not too sure how much control they have over that, because even the monetization e-commerce features, not the entire world doesn't get it. It's still limited to a certain selective countries. So I don't know how much control they have over that.
Yes. Well, once again, manipulation and control. Okay.
Thank you.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. But at the end of the day, I will tell people that the war is no longer on in terms of where land to land, it is different aspects. Technology is one of them. If you look at cybersecurity, it's projected to be a $1 billion industry. And the person who's going to hack and get software, they are the next people who will be paid big.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to have some cybersecurity specialists that are going to be coming on the program so we can take a deeper dive into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your contribution today. This was perfect.
Okay, no problem.
All right, take care.
Have a blessed one.
You too. Yes. So as we look to wrap up, that the ban that is looking to happen, right or wrong, it's mainly because the countries themselves are at odds, and they don't want the information to get into their competitors or nations they're at odds with. Right now, people have said, well, what is Google and Facebook doing? They're collecting all of our data, yeah. Right? But they're collecting your data and selling it to U.S. companies. They're not selling it to China. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. And that's a big difference, right? So if TikTok gets banned, a lot of businesses that are using this platform to build their brand, build their businesses, if that's all they have, that goes down the gutter. Just as we wrap up, what are your final thoughts on that potentially happening, TikTok going?
That would be unfortunate, but that would go back to what you've been telling people all along. Get your own website. So in the event that these platforms do, crash, they do go down, you have your information on your website. So yeah, I think what you've been saying, what you've been preaching, it makes a lot of sense. Try and take the money and invest in your own website. It would be unfortunate. So my suggestion would be for persons that are already trending on TikTok right now. I know it might be tough, but you got to go to the next platform. You got to try. Building. You better start today. You better start today, man, because that would be tough. That would be a tough blow for any company, for any influencer, for any artist. So many people get their little start. Coi Leray. Yeah,
TikTok.
Well, I listened to an interview with her, but she doesn't want to be referred to as a TikTok star. But I mean, her music, it trends on TikTok. That's where, she gets the most streams. So it would be interesting, but it would be also interesting to see the innovation from app creators in the US. I know there would probably be someone coming up with something to battle that gap, that TikTok gap that would be there. So I'm not concerned. I'm pretty sure it's in good hands, the US. They will come up with a next app that's going to be similar to TikTok. And, we're going to have a new platform.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be, it's all in all positive. I mean, if they don't want it in the country, okay.
I implore everybody, if you are leveraging a platform like TikTok, now is the time. Don't wait until you wake up in the morning and hear, hey, the US has banned it, Canada has banned it, mm-hmm. Australia, and it goes down the line, and then you're using a platform that has been banned almost all over the world,
exactly.
And now you no longer have an audience, and you no longer can get paid or sponsorships anymore, because there's the companies themselves, remember, influencers in Trinidad especially, the platform doesn't pay you.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting money because you've built a following, and companies mm-hmm. have decided to invest in you.
Mm-hmm.
If the company is deciding that, we can no longer, or doesn't make any sense to use influencers on TikTok because we can't get the type of reach or sales that we want, then that's dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making no money on that platform. So start, trying to transition your audience elsewhere. But yeah, we'll leave it. We shall leave it there, because we have Davey coming in next in the overdrive from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Janine, can you close out the good people at the Digital World for us, please?
All right, my beautiful people, I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you so much for all the calls and the messages today. We must thank our amazing guests. I want to say a special thank you going out to Siobhan Sobrero. And don't forget to check out the label. That's Siobhan Sobrero Label. And you can check out her website. You could also check it out on her Instagram account. You heard that right here. And we got to thank our next guest.
For next week, that is still to be confirmed.
No, the
other guy. Oh, yes. John Sancarelli from the TTIFC. Thank you for coming in to talk to us about the FinTech Sprint. I know a lot of people who are looking to build a FinTech business in Trinidad are going to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget to check out the TTIFC website for more information. That's going to be starting very, very soon.
Yeah.
So As usual, every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., we have Janine and myself, Karen Rose, and this is The Digital World, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes, my loves, and as always, have a blessed one. Enjoy your weekend. And it's your girl, Janine, saying peace, love, and cupcakes. Bye.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.